Hiya and welcome to Intuit, the HuffPost UK entertainment podcast. I'm Daniel Welsh and I'm here with Rachel McGraw and Ash Percival. Yes, for the first time in like 6 weeks, we're actually all here, the three of us. Nice little time, isn't it?
So exciting.
Reunited and it feels so good. This week we're looking ahead to the new series of The X Factor, picking apart Hollywood's latest plans for a female-led reboot, and testing our chart knowledge in this week's quiz. But before we get to any of that, for the second week in a row, we've got to discuss the woman on everyone's lips. She's got a forked tongue and a list of names, and Rachel's in red, underlined. It's Taylor Swift. Over the weekend, she dropped the elaborate music video for her new song, Look What You Made Me Do, and it's all anyone's been talking about ever since. The imagery, the looks, and the snakes. So obviously there's a lot to pick apart in this new video. First of all, it's kind of being billed as her turning her public persona and the way that she's perceived by the media on its head and kind of reclaiming the snake, essentially. Rachel, how successfully do you think that she pulled that off?
Not massively successfully. I think it's an amazing video. Like, it's absolutely stunning.
It looks expensive, doesn't it? That's the one thing it looks.
Yeah, the serious money has been spent. Like, there's not one shot that doesn't just reek of spending. But in terms of kind of changing her image and reputation, I'm not sure that it's going to work. I think that she is playing the victim a little bit, maybe.
In what ways do you think, relating to the
video? I just think that a lot of the ways in the video and the song itself, it's not like she's not really taking responsibility for the fact a lot of the way she's portrayed was because she was that way.
But was based on her own behaviour.
Yeah, well, she's
than...
always had this kind of victim complex issue. Like, that's something that has been kind of synonymous with Taylor Swift for a long time. And I think she doesn't really do anything to distance herself from that. It's very like, you know, look what you made me do. It's not exactly, I'm sorry, I was a twat.
Ash, you've just got into the video, right?
Mm.
What do you reckon?
It just oozes, like, sort of expense and, like...
It's a bit everything like me, really.
It's just everything, like, the Fleury Sax video was not, like, essentially, like...
You know what? Those two videos are polar opposites, aren't they?
They literally are. And, you know, I do love those, like, big-scale, like, production videos. Like, when Gaga drops, like, an iconic video, I'm, like, I'm so ready for it. I just wish I liked the song as much as I like the video.
So you're a fan of the video then?
Yeah, I just think it's, you know, I love a big budget, glossy little number.
What do you reckon in terms of like attitude and a whole victim complex?
See, we talked a bit about this on the podcast last week, and I'm not here for the whole victim thing, and I don't think she's reclaiming it. And I think she's just like, it's like you say, Rachel, like she needs to start owning up to shit and just being like, actually, I did some really shitty things and I'm actually going to admit that now and we're all going to move on from it. It's like, no, Kanye, you're going to keep suffering for this. Like, oh, you're all making me out to be a snake. Like, nah, I'm not here for it.
Well, what I will say is that like she is sat on a throne surrounded by snakes, so I don't think she's necessarily playing the victim. Do you know what I mean? Like when she's sat in that bath surrounded by diamonds, it's not necessarily playing the victim, but it is. It's
she's
still
just
not
quite let go of it completely. Yeah. Like, it's like, you know, she has got all of the snakes, and then that thing with like there's the pile of old Taylors like trying to get her, and it's new Taylor on top. Like, no, this is me now. There is like a definite kind of distancing, but I think there was a really good piece on Elle this week actually about how the old Taylor, because there's that bit where she's like, she can't come to the phone right now, she's dead.
Because she's dead.
Dead. There was a piece on Elle that was like, the old Taylor isn't dead at all. She's very much still in there. And I think that's completely true, to be honest.
But the old Taylor's like the country Taylor, as far as I'm concerned. The new Taylor was like the sort of the shake it off Taylor. Like,
well, now
for
there's
me,
a new
like,
Taylor.
This is like third era incarnation Taylor.
This is what I don't get, is this whole old Taylor, new Taylor thing. Like, she's got them all in a row. And it's like, how are these Taylor is any different from one another, really, other than the fact that they all have that big argument at the end.
Well, it's like Ash just says there, but, you know, when she, just before she did 1989, she was like, right, this is my pop album now. This was like her pop era was beginning. We had the whole kind of let's sell feminism thing. So that was, there have been like quite a lot of new Taylors, I think.
I suppose reinvention's nothing new though, is it? Like,
no.
Like, this is just her latest era, I suppose. But it's just because her, I don't know, like you'd never think of Taylor Swift like reinventing herself in the same way like Madonna does or like Beyonce does or like Gaga does. Like she's very, well, for me, I always think of Taylor Swift as like Taylor Swift, like I'm quite indifferent towards her.
Well, yeah, that's it. You know, she's not, it's not costumes and wigs and all kinds of stuff. Is it? I mean, it kind of is in the new video. But
it was always supposed to be real though, wasn't it? Like it was always very hot on the sleeve, things about her ex-boyfriends. It wasn't supposed to be that there was something you could reinvent. She was the girl next door, country singer, made some pop songs, like, or, you know, did songs about Harry Styles or whoever she was with. So, you know, someone like Madonna or Gaga, it's like, it is quite character-esque. They're playing something else, whereas Taylor always gave the impression she wasn't.
So I suppose that's the new Taylor, is what, a fake Taylor? I guess is what she's getting at, is that she's just not going to be that girl next door anymore and she's going to sit in the bath with a load of diamonds.
Oh, well, who wouldn't want to do that, to be honest?
I'm doing it tonight, so I'm sorted. Except it's not diamonds, it's ice gems.
Cubic zirconia.
Oh my god, that's so
lame. Bits of Lego.
Something else that people are talking about with the new Taylor video is all of the hidden messages, and there's a lot of them. Aww. And you kind of uncover more and more every time you watch it. Rachel, what is something that has stricken you since you've been watching it?
I think it's like you say, you just realise so many more. So there's the one that I think we talked about the other day, was the dollar in the bath.
Yes.
So she obviously went through this sexual harassment lawsuit and she sued the guy in like a really symbolic move for $1. So that, I think, is definitely one that I didn't pick up at first, and it kind of...
I had it pointed out to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, someone's pointed out that like there's a lot of stuff in the background of one of the shots relating to her relationship with Calvin Harris, and some people have spotted an engagement ring. Has anybody
seen this? Oh, yes, I've seen this, yeah.
Apparently, there's a necklace in the scene where, I think it's the scene where she robs the bank, there's an engagement ring on in a box, just abandoned, and the necklace that he gave her is just strewn on the floor. But I think even that just goes to show that the new Taylor is not the new Taylor at all. It's just the same again.
There's some Hawaiian shirts at some point, I think, as well, in a reference to... I think that's the Calvin Harris thing.
It's actually to me.
Daniel's wearing one right now.
It's true. I look great. Just to really paint the visual for you.
I like it, although. I think the one we did talk about earlier, which I don't...
Can I just stop you there? Sorry. What's this about Hawaiian shirts? Who wore a Hawaiian shirt?
Was it Calvin Harris or something? There's some sort of... I'll dig it out and actually research it.
That sounds tenuous. Because I haven't spotted any Hawaiian shirts.
Well, there's a few tenuous ones.
Oh my god, well, the most tenuous one.
The Kim K alleged reference to the robbery, which is one I'm definitely not buying.
There's the shot where she's surrounded by diamonds and she makes a gun with her fingers.
In the bath as well.
In the bath. And some people have pointed out that that could be a reference to Kim Kardashian's horrific... Was it last year?
Yeah.
When she was held at gunpoint in the bath and someone robbed her diamonds. I don't know Taylor Swift personally, so I don't know what she is and isn't capable of. I think that seems like something that, considering how petty this whole thing actually is, it seems like that is a line that she wouldn't necessarily cross.
Do you know what it reminds me of? Like, it reminds me of like when you used to do English literature at school and you used to be desperate to find a meaning in something to like crowbar into your essay. And like people have just gone into that video being like, right, I'm going to try and find like a hidden message in every single piece of imagery because I want to fit a certain narrative.
The thing is, to be fair, there are hidden messages in most of it.
Yeah.
But there is obviously a line, like...
Someone pointed out to me on Twitter regarding this Kim Kardashian thing, because I tweeted something about how I didn't think that it was relevant, and I thought that people might have been reaching. And somebody said to me that if you're going to spend that much money on a music video and be that prolific and refer to a few that's prolific, you should probably be paying somebody to go through and make sure there aren't going to be whoopsies like that. And so even if it wasn't intentional, I actually do kind of see people's point in that.
I think so, because it's not... Nothing in that video happens randomly. There's no dance move. There's no, like, hand gesture that isn't completely intentional. So it's not like she was kind of laying in the bath scene and ad-libbing and, like, dancing away and that she made a gun sign. That must have been quite planned out.
Yeah.
I think, to be honest, I just like to think she wouldn't have done it.
I don't... I mean, personally, this is entirely my opinion. I don't believe that she did, but I do think it was pretty clumsy to leave it in. Mm. Overall, has this got us more or less excited for new Taylor Swift material coming later this year?
More, but in the way of, I just want the drama. Like, I'm just living.
That's your life motto, Rachel.
I said this before the song came out.
I didn't realise you lived the drama so much, McGrath.
Neither did I yet. Here I am, mid-2017.
All right, well, moving forward. Speaking of interesting visuals, there has been a brand new controversy over a planned female reboot, but not for the usual reasons. So it's been revealed that a new version of Lord of the Flies is in the works. Based around, rather than William Golding's original story, which is about some marooned young men, this is marooned young women and how they will rebuild a society and all of that. So usually when these sorts of things are announced, there's a lot of backlash from a certain quarter of Twitter, as I like to call it, the sexist quarter, where everybody basically says that women shouldn't... I don't even know. What do they say? Shouldn't leave the house?
Stay in the kitchen, make sandwiches.
That's nice. I would love a sandwich right now, actually. But
shall I go and make one?
I can make my own, don't worry.
Keep putting me in my place.
That was actually a strong hint. Obviously it wasn't, just to clarify before we go any further with this tale of love and woe. So rather than those traditional complaints, which men have, People have pointed out, literary critics have pointed out that the major theme of Lord of the Flies is gender and toxic masculinity. So what do we think of this, first of all, planned reboot of Lord of the Flies?
Well, firstly, I'm not going to even claim that I've read Lord of the Flies, because we all know the only book I've ever read is Cheryl Cole's autobiography.
That's not true. Actually, Caroline Flack, Storm in a Sea Cup.
Didn't you read a chapter of Danny Dyer's as well?
Oh, no, I did actually read all of Danny Dyer's.
All of it?
All of it.
I didn't realise we sat with bloody Stephen Fry over here. Literary mind of the 21st century.
I wouldn't mind if they wanted to make an all-female Danny Dyer's autobiography. I actually think that'd be quite interesting.
We'll have a chat about how books work after this.
Starring Rachel McGraw as Danny Dyer.
I've actually been living it, so...
I don't know. I kind of feel like I think there was like a similar argument when the whole Ghostbusters remake happened like last year. And that argument was like, why are we giving women just like men's cast-offs in stories? Mm. Why aren't they having their own stories? Like, why aren't we creating these like amazing, like powerful films that involve all women instead of just remaking ones that included a load of men?
Rachel, you're a woman.
I am a woman.
What do you think of this?
The thing I think with this one that's interesting is that it is... I haven't read Lord of the Flies either, but I did do a literature degree, so...
So did I, Rachel.
Qualified.
You'd be shocked to hear.
Well, I haven't seen Lord of the... haven't read or seen Lord of the Flies either, but I have seen a Simpsons episode that it's based on.
There
so I
we
feel
go.
Like I'm the most qualified to speak on this issue. But please do continue.
Well, it is that thing where, like, masculinity is so integral to the story that to redo it with women is ridiculous.
Ghostbusters, it wasn't a story of gender, was it?
No,
it just
wasn't.
Happened to be four men.
Yeah.
And when you get a team of four men, you don't ever comment on it.
No.
But whereas something like Bridesmaids, even though, you know, it is integral to the plot that they are women because they are literally bridesmaids.
Well, you know, it would be the same as trying to do, okay, we'll redo Bridesmaids, but we'll do it with groomsmen. All the stories wouldn't happen. You wouldn't have the thing where they went dress shopping and that. And
clearly
you don't
you've
have
never
the same
been out
dynamic.
With me, Rachel.
Wow. But I think that's kind of, you know, it is gender is integral.
Yeah.
But I do agree with Ash that women should have their own stories. Apart from the exception that breaks the rule is the upcoming Ocean's 11 reboot. With the greatest cast I have ever seen.
It's like Rihanna, Sarah Paulson.
It's like if we were in charge, who would we have got?
Well, I would have got Susan Boyle.
Fair.
So that she's the one missing ingredient.
Trade out Kate Blanchett.
Oh my God, could you imagine if they were like, unfortunately, Kate Blanchett can't make it to set, so we're going to use Susan Boyle as a stand-in today.
I think it would end up probably just not... turning out very well.
Is this why I'm not
be
in
perfect.
Charge of greenlighting films?
Apparently. Maybe we've cracked it.
I'm very excited for this Ocean's 8, is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think so.
What, could they not find 11 women?
Well, I think it's because they've done 11, 12, 13. So
I think
they needed
it's
another
they can't
number.
Find 11 women.
I feel like the logical solution after 11, 12, 13 isn't 8, though. Like, it's been a long time since my A-level maths exam, but I remember sequencing and I remember all of that business, and I feel like 8 does not come next.
Maybe it's a prequel and there's going to be 8, 9, 10.
Maybe they just straight up, I don't have enough women in Hollywood. I should have got a season.
I am excited, but I agree with what you were saying about, you know, giving women their own stories and their own whatever. I just saw Girls Trip two weeks ago. I need to see that.
Oh
my God,
it
is literally one of the best films I've ever seen. And again, you know what? That film could have been done with four men. It could have been. It wouldn't be called Girls Trip anymore, obviously. That would negate that. But it was a great film. And it was, again, the whole point was that it was just four friends of... not indeterminate gender, because you knew they were women, but they could have been anyone.
Yeah.
I watched it and I'm a man and I really, really related to it because I allegedly have friends. And so watching Friendship on
that's
screen,
unverified.
I have used Jonah.
Colleagues, Daniel.
I think we all just agree, don't we?
Yeah, it's nice. Women are great, give them more films. Let's move on to our final topic of the day because it's a big weekend in the world of British television. Not quite as big as it was a few years ago, of course, but it's still marginally big. The X Factor is about to return for its 14th series. We've got Simon Cowell back on the panel with his merry bunch of minions, Sharon Osbourne, Nicole Scherzinger, and
is
Ash's
that what
best
you
friend.
Call us when we're not here?
Only you.
I wouldn't say merry. But minions, certainly. You are a bit like one of the minions of Despicable Me fame, actually.
Never seen it, so I'm going to take that as a compliment.
I haven't seen it either.
You know what? Surprisingly good. X Factor, it's coming back. What do we think? Who's going to watch it? Who isn't? Does society need it? Does the world of entertainment need it? Do I need it? What do we think?
No to all of the above. Next topic.
Well, do you know what? It's coming back. It's coming back whether we want it or not.
Ash, you've already seen it, haven't you?
I have.
Oh, well, Ash has seen it.
I've seen 40 minutes of the very first episode because the full episode wasn't ready. The press launched earlier this week.
What did you think of the 40 minutes that you saw? You're a long-serving X Factor fan. Rachel, you're a long-serving X Factor cynic, so I feel like we're going to get two different voices on this subject. And I'm somewhere comfortably in the middle.
You know, I do accept that X Factor is not as good as it used to be and people don't care as much as they used to. I'm not stupid. Like, you only have to look at the ratings to know that. But I am quite excited about this year's series. I think I'm one of the few people that actually enjoyed last year.
Did you actually enjoy last year's series?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I really liked the panel. I liked a lot of the finalists.
I liked that episode where Nicole sang at the start.
Oh, that was sick.
She literally came out and did that disco number.
She should do that every week.
I'm every woman.
You know what she loves? Attention. And she's not shy about who knows it either.
She'd fit in well on this podcast, to be honest.
I reckon so as well, because me and her have always got on so well. Well, Ash, you've just mentioned the judges on last year's series. They're all back this year,
yeah,
so what do you think?
So what I like about it, admittedly, it's obviously only the first episode, but it seemed as if a lot of the focus was less on them and more on the contestants, which has been one of the kind of the long-running criticisms of X Factor, I think, since The Voice kind of arrived, really, because that kind of re-put the emphasis on the contestants, because, you know, The Voice is really serious.
You've been practising that impression.
What impression was it? I don't even know what it was. And I kind of like that. As much as I love, like, Sharon walking into a door and Louis being really stupid, it's nice that X Factor have kind of, like, taken the wider public's view on board.
The thing is, Sharon walking into a door, which I think we've mentioned about 50 times on this podcast already, and here comes 51st. Sharon walking into a door, she walked into a door. It wasn't orchestrated. It wasn't planned. It wasn't fake. She was walking and she walked into a door. Do you know what I mean? So that moment when the emphasis was on the panel, that was real. She walked into a door. And so if that was... She walked into a door.
What did she do?
I believe she walked into a door. So if people were going to walk into more doors naturally, then I wouldn't mind. But it's when I get, like... Sharon came back a couple of years ago and I remember her, like, laughing in a contestant's face. And that was, like, the storyline. Mm. And it was so fake. It was what she was doing was so fake. I just thought, you're just doing this because you know what works.
Yeah.
And that's not it. You can't fake these things. So I'm happy for those judges as long as they're not going to...
What I will say is there's also less novelty this year.
Well, that is my next point. There's less novelty acts. What do we think of that?
See, I think it's...
But allegedly, we don't know if there is or isn't because it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. Apparently there's going to be less, which I... Personally, I love a novelty act. We've talked about this on the podcast before, and I do love the bad auditions. But again, I feel that's one of the criticisms that's always levelled at X Factor is, like, you know, in this day and age of Bake Off and, like, everyone just being shit to each other, I think it's kind of nice that...
Bake Off and people being shit to each other? Are those two things related?
Inextricably linked. I think it's nice that we're not going to have to stop and look and laugh at people that can't sing and, yeah.
See, I think it's like Daniel said, though, like when, like back in the day when I used to actually watch it a bit, there would be a novelty act, but you could tell they'd strolled along, they'd gone and auditioned, it was fun, or it would be someone who was a bit shit, and it was the same thing. Whereas now, the novelty act is Honey G, who's been pushed and pushed and pushed through, and it is... a bit of a setup. Like when the voting figures came out last year, she hadn't been doing half as well as it was made out to have been.
And she was getting saved over, you know, like the top and bottom of it is, Honey G was not talented and she wasn't funny. It wasn't...
Yeah.
It was a joke at...
But it's that thing they like, novelty acts used to do well, and they were like, okay, people like these, they're funny. You know, it was Chico, it was that Wagner guy, like, it was good. And then they just went too far with it and just pushed it. And people aren't stupid. Viewers know when you're like having them on.
I think it'd be interesting as the competition progresses, because Louis actually said at the press launch this week, he said, I've managed to, you know, I'm not worried about there being no novelty acts. I've already found one that's different and I think they should make the live show. So I actually think the testament will be maybe not through the audition process, but as they start narrowing down and it starts getting less and less and less, that'll be the real test of how seriously they're going to take this promise of no novelty acts.
The other big change this year, as well as no novelty acts, and it's on a similar theme actually, is that the contestants are apparently all shown up with their own songs. Ash, you saw the episode and you said that you enjoyed hearing people's own songs.
I did, like, so for me, like, one of the best X Factor auditions of all time is Ella Henderson.
Was it when I showed
Sadly,
up?
Yours didn't make the TV.
No, it didn't. One day.
It's always been Ella Henderson, like, among a few others. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there's been a moment quite like Ella Henderson's audition since hers. And in this weekend show, I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but there is a girl at auditions who is incredible. Like, she's genuinely so, so talented. She turns up with this incredible song. And I'm like, do you know what? I want to hear you do your original song over doing a shitty cover of Ed Sheeran, which would be the song of choice this year, let's face it, wouldn't it? And I'm not here for 95 renditions of Shape of You.
Rachel, if you heard someone in your friendship circle say... Yeah. I watched The X Factor last night and there were three really good original songs on it that I think you should hear. Would you go home and watch it, or would you just say, do you know what? Life's too short.
I would say life's too short. And if it was anything that I was that desperate to see, I could just watch it on YouTube.
Well, this is what I mean. Would you look them up on YouTube? What would you be more inclined to watch? Someone singing their own song or someone being shit?
I don't care.
Or neither.
I just don't give a shit. I'm sorry, but I just can't watch X Factor.
Don't you be sorry, Rachel. I'm not invested in it. I haven't got any money in it.
That's good.
I'm not Sunita. despite our obvious similarities. All right, well, let's keep an eye on the X Factor, because frankly, we've got no option, because it's going to be here for the next about 10 weeks and it is going to dominate the headlines. It's going to dominate the television, and I look forward to seeing whether it's going to be a steaming pile or something glorious that we can all enjoy as a nation. And speaking of the X Factor, that's the theme of this week's quiz. Basically, I thought ahead of the new episodes, we could all take a stroll down and look at some of the success and less success stories of past contestants. So basically, I'm going to come to you in turn. I'm going to give you two songs released by an X Factor contestant. And I want you to tell me which one you thought charted higher. If you get it right, you get a point. If you get it wrong, you get absolutely nout. But also, getting you a point gets nout. So what are you going to do?
It's not very motivational.
Sorry about that.
God, don't ever go into motivational speaking at dinner parties, will you?
Well, do you know what? We all die eventually. Who's up first? Ash, I'm going to come to you first, as you are our resident X Factor aficionado. So the two songs that I'm going to test you on. Owen Quigg, 28,000 Friends, and
oh
Ode to Social
God.
Media. Versus, same difference, We Are One. R spelt the letter R.
Oh, God, both were locked in the vault of my mind for just being so terrible.
Same difference, We Are One is an absolute tune. Come at us. At us.
I feel like Owen Quigg's song charted quite low because I think he only had one song, whereas I think Same Difference had a follow-up. So I'm going to say Same Difference.
That is correct. They charted 10 nice. Places higher than him at number 13. Rachel, two of this year's Strictly lineup. Okay. JLS, The Club Is Alive, versus Alexandra Burke, Elephant.
Okay, this is going to be a guess.
Is that the phrase she brought over, the elephant in the room?
That's the phrase where she famously, in an interview on now defunct Breakfast Show, Good Morning, what's it called?
GMD.
Daybreak, it wasn't it?
Whatever it was. Know. Said, I was in America and I overheard the expression, there's an elephant in the room, and I thought I'd bring it over to the UK. A whoopsie, if ever there was one.
I'm going to guess. Over to you. I'm going to guess elephant.
I'm afraid you're wrong. The correct answer was JLS, The Club Is Alive, charted at number one, which is strange because it's a really shit song.
And it's also set to The Sound of Music song.
Yes, it's also set to The Hills Are Alive with The Sound of Music, which is a cracking song, which frankly much deserves the number one. Ashley, over to you. It's Battle of the Judges this time. Cheryl Fernandez-Massini, Only Human, not to be confused with the Rag and Bone Man song of the same name, versus Nicole Scherzinger, My Best Friend, On the Rocks. Which one charted higher? Only Human, On the Rocks.
See,
Only
do
human.
I get a bonus point if I actually give you the chart position for Only Human?
Wow! You know what? Yeah, why not?
I think Only
Human... It's all meaningless anyway, who cares?
I think Only Human charted at 72.
Oh, no bonus point for you!
What number is it?
Well, hang on, you haven't even said the 23rd. So it didn't chart higher first.
I was so confident about that.
You
as
were
well.
Too confident.
Do you know what? To quote Demi Lovato, or what's wrong with being confident? Getting it wrong. That's what.
I'm going to go Cheryl. So I don't even know that Nicole song.
Oh, it's a cracking song. It's a beautiful song about drinking a cocktail on the rock. Cheryl is the correct answer. She charted at number 70. You are so close. Aww. Nicole got number 90 with On the Rocks.
Showing their true credentials as X Factor judges there.
Aye, well done, the pair of them. Rachel, coming back to you. Yeah. It's Battle of the Novelty Act with this next one. It's Jedward, okay. Under Pressure, Ice Ice Baby versus Chico, C-H-I-C-O.
Okay, I think...
Was that set to the tune of D-S-I-C-O?
Sorry, set to the tune of... What was that now? DFS.
No, he actually...
DFS sale.
No, he said D-S-I-C-O.
Oh, do you know what? It's a hard word to spell.
It's a good job I don't write for a living.
It's a Friday afternoon. It's okay. We'll let that one slide.
I'm going to guess again. I think Jedward is higher.
That's correct.
Yes.
Jedward got a number 2 hit with Ice Ice Baby Under Pressure featuring Vanilla Ice. And Chico only managed to get the number 24 with C-H-I-C-O. So Rachel, you're back in the game.
Good to know.
One's each cracking? Mm. Ash, more recently, Liam Payne stripped that down versus Louis Tomlinson and Steve Aoki Just Hold On.
See, I think that only got to number 10 and I'm pretty sure Strip That Down got to 3 or 4, so I'm going to go Liam Payne.
I'm afraid you're incorrect.
Really?
Liam Payne got to number 3, whereas Louis and Steve...
Number 2.
Did they? Right, Louis, yeah. Tomlinson's biggest fan in the corner over there.
Bloody hell. Me. Louis and Liam, my two faves.
I tell you what, I bloody love that new Louis Tomlinson song with BB Rexha.
I haven't listened to it.
Oh my God, honestly, give it a listen.
He doesn't turn up until about 1 minute 30 into,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she does open the song, but you know what? He finishes it. He finishes the job. All right. Former winners, Rachel. Ben Haynow, okay. Secondhand Heart, featuring Kelly Clarkson, versus Geordie Joe McKeldry with Ambitions, who charted higher.
Okay, I'm going to guess that this might be a curveball one. I don't know the Joe McKeldry song, but I'm going to say Joe McKeldry.
That is correct.
Yes.
Joe got a number 6 with his. Ben only got a number 21.
I knew the chart positions for that answer as well.
Well, it's all fun and games, so it's actually your turn, isn't it?
Easy to say it, isn't it, when it's not your question?
Ash, I think this is to stay in the game, Pat.
My God, how have you done better on this than me?
Just know my chart positions.
All right, Mark Goodger over there.
Little Mix, Word Up! ! Versus One Direction, One Way or Another, Teenage Kicks.
Oh, I think that... See, I don't know that Little Mix song.
Oh, do you not?
No. Yeah, I don't know that Little Mix song.
It's cracking.
Whereas I think that One Direction song got to number 3.
Well, they were both charity songs.
Mm. I'm going to go One Direction.
That's correct. One Direction got a number 1 with One Way, yeah, or Another. And Little Mix only got a number 6. Little Mix had Arlene Phillips in the video. And One Direction had David Cameron, former Prime Minister.
And they went to Africa as well, didn't they? To an African country.
Yes, they certainly did do that.
Put the air miles in, paid off.
That wasn't in the video though, was it?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
That's a kind of inappropriate song to
be. Well, no, because it was a comic relief video, so it was like all sorts of different things. Right.
The thing was, so the story of the music video was that, like, One Way I'm Gonna Find You, and they were like following each other around like it was on candid, yeah, camera. Those boys, what are they like? This is what happened. David Cameron literally came out, shook his head, and went back inside.
If only he did that
number
more
10.
Often.
Rich, I think you've won.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How are you going to celebrate?
I'm going to watch X Factor.
All right. Well,
finally.
All right. I'll be at McGraw's binge watching past episodes of The X Factor. We'll be back next week. Don't forget to subscribe on the iTunes Store. Laters!